Your speaker in this lesson is Larry Acuff.
Turn your Bibles to the book of Amos, Old Testament book of the minor prophets. Amos is one of my favorite books of the Bible. And Amos is he was a country preacher. Even though the Bible says preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, even though Paul said 1 Corinthians 9 verse 16, though I preach the gospel, I have none to glory, necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. You and I recognize that in preaching, there are some men who would be completely out of place, not because of the message, but because of the method of the delivery of that message. Amos was not a smooth preacher. He didn't come in and preach only on those things that they wanted to hear. Turn your Bibles to Amos. Look at verse number 3 of the first chapter. Thus saith the Lord, for 3 transgressions of Damascus, and for 4, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they have threshed Gilead with threshing instruments of iron. I can preach about this denomination and that denomination and this sin and that sin, and I can talk about all, and they say, oh, that's great. That's what they said to Amos until he brought it home. And then when he began to bring it home, they came to him and they said, now why don't you go off somewhere else and preach? Someone asked me one time, how do you decide what you ought to preach? I said, well, I just look at what I need and preach on what I need, and I figure it may help someone else. And so Amos, what he did, if you'll go through here for an example, verse number 9 of chapter 1, he talks about Tyre. In verse number 6 of chapter 1, he talks about Gaza and so forth. And then they come to him and they say, let me tell you, buddy, you need to go somewhere else and preach. You need to get out of here. We don't want to listen to what you have to say. There are some passages of Scripture that stand out in the book of Amos. If you're following along, go to Amos chapter 3 and verse number 3. Here's a passage that has been used in many, many ways. The Bible says, can two walk together except they be agreed? There has to be a basis of agreement. And what he is saying is, can Israel and God walk together when they're not agreed? Israel is not obeying God. You're not doing what God told you to do. Skip over to chapter number 5. I'm going to come back and focus in on one verse in 5. But look at verse number 24. And look at what Amos said. In Amos 5 verse 24, he said, but let judgment run down as waters, and righteousness as a mighty stream. Boy, that's a powerful passage. Skip down to chapter number 6. In verse number 3, he said, ye that put far away the evil day and cause the seat of violence to come near, that lie upon beds of ivory and stretch themselves upon their couches and eat the lambs out of the flock and the calves out of the midst of the stall, that chant to the sound of the viol and invent to themselves instruments of music like David, that drink wine in bowls and anoint themselves with the chief ointments, but they are not grieved for the affliction of Israel. Now here's one of the things that they had come to the conclusion in. The people in Israel were saying, let me tell you, things are so bad we can hardly wait until the time of judgment. Let me illustrate that. And that illustration is this. I have seen individuals suffer who were not Christians, who did not serve God, who rebelled against God, who rejected God, and died. But you and I can know by a study of the Bible that here's an individual who has rejected God, rebelled against God, turned his back against God all of his life, and he dies. And then a family member, he's gone through pain and suffering. And a family member says, well, they see him with his arms crossed and his eyes closed. Oh, how peaceful he is now. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. There's no peace for the lost. That's what Israel was saying. They're saying, when judgment comes, things are going to be great. Amos said, oh, no. Wait just a minute. Go back now to verse 19 of the 5th chapter and look at what the Bible says. The Bible says, as if a man did flee from a lion and a bear met him, or went into the house and leaned his hand on the wall and a serpent bit him. He flees from a lion and gets loose from a bear. He's just kind of saying, whew. And he leans himself up against a wall and a snake bites him. Now I want you to look at some things tonight. The church of our Lord Jesus Christ has fought. You look back, ladies and gentlemen, and you see what has taken place in our world, in our society, and especially as Brother Scott comes next week and he speaks to us on the restoration movement, because we have fought many lions in the restoration. There have been those the devil himself has stood to oppose the doctrine of New Testament Christianity. And you and I look back, and what do we see? We see Protestantism, and we see all of these various doctrines that have been out there in our world, in our society, and you and I know that the church has fought the lion in the restoration movement, that there were those who endeavored to stop the restoration movement. That we fought the lion of antiism, ladies and gentlemen, and we've won that battle. We fought the bear of liberalism. So you see, we fight the battles. But I want to ask this question. Would it be the snake that bites us? You see, ladies and gentlemen, the same is true in our homes. You see, there are things in our homes that, we fight this battle and we fight that battle, and then all of a sudden, wham, something comes up and bites us and we're not expecting it. What happened? We let a snake in there. You see, we may have let the snake in our homes of neglect. You see, we may be so busy earning a living in our homes that we forget that we have a husband or a wife or a family, and we forget that we have a responsibility in those areas. And we're over here and we're fighting the battle of economics and the battle of finances and the battle of health. And would it bite us? Now I'm going to go through very quickly some snakes. Don't let these snakes bite you, ladies and gentlemen. Let me give you just three or four here real quickly. Number one is the snake of pride. You know, so many times we can let pride destroy us. You remember what the Bible tells us. Pride goeth before destruction, Proverbs 16. Pride goeth before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. You see, ladies and gentlemen, I can come to the church building every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, and every Wednesday night. I can partake of the Lord's Supper. I can sing the song. I can put a check in the collection plate, and then all of a sudden, what have I done? I let myself build myself up, and I become prideful. I think I'm better than somebody else. The Bible says, let each esteem others better than themselves. The Bible says that a man ought not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. And so what happens, we let the snake of pride into our lives. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. You know, we can get to the point and say, man, everything's going smooth. We've got unity. We love each other. And then all of a sudden the devil says, wham, I'll get you. Got to be careful. Fear. The snake of fear gets a hold of us. I like the passage in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18. 1 John 4:18 says there's no fear in love. Perfect love casteth out fear. brother had not been faithful for a long time to the church. We were sitting there, and I said, "Bill, it was evident that he had emphysema. At that point, I don't know anything about how long he was expected to live, but I said, "Bill, you need to be restored and to be faithful to the kingdom of God." And he and I talked about it. He said, "You know what? I'm afraid that they'll ask me to do something and I can't do it." I said, "You know something? The Bible, God does not expect us to do something we cannot do. The Bible doesn't teach us. The Bible teaches us to use His ability and His talent to the extent that God has given that ability and talent to Him." But you see, ladies and gentlemen, a lot of times, however, our reason for not doing something may be the wrong reason. And it may be out of fear. And that fear may be as a result of maybe we've built a shield up. Maybe we're afraid to participate in some activity in the body of Jesus Christ. Well, we're afraid of what others may say, or we're afraid we'll make a mistake. But you see, ladies and gentlemen, we many times in our lives, there are so many things that you and I can do in the body of Christ. We can do in our families, we can do in our homes, we can do in our job, if we will just not let fear overtake us. The snake of fear. Bitterness. You remember Esau? Ruined him. And today we're paying the consequences of Esau's hatred. Jacob got his birthright. That was his own fault. He sold it to him. He didn't see the value of it. He thought, "Well, I might as well just, I'm going to die anyhow if I don't get something to eat, so I'll sell it to you." But Esau, when he discovered that his brother Jacob had gotten the birthright and the blessing, you remember in this book in Genesis chapter number 27, that he went to his dad and he said, "Can't you give me some blessing?" And he said, "No." Esau was bitter. I feel so sorry for some folks that I know personally, and they have literally let bitterness eat them up. You see, ladies and gentlemen, you and I need to consider the fact that we need to have a forgetting attitude. Do you know there are some things you just need to forget? Just forget it. Quit whining about it. All right, let's look at two more. I think I've got self-pity. David said, "Reproach hath broken my heart, and I'm full of heaviness." And I love that line right there. "I look for some to take pity." You see, ladies and gentlemen, self-pity will kill you. I don't mean physically. It'll kill your spirit. It'll stop you from recognizing the joy and the pleasure of success that you can have and other people can have. Don't let it kill you, my friend. Don't let it kill you. Well, there are a lot more, and I'm not going to take time, but I want to mention them just very briefly. There's lust, the little snake of lust. It'll bite you. You're watching television. You're watching something you ought not to be watching. You're reading something you ought not to be reading. And before long, it grabs hold of you. Unbelief. A lack of faith. Jealousy. But you see, ladies and gentlemen, what jealousy can do? Jealousy can literally tear the heart out of your soul. Don't let it do it. The world, ladies and gentlemen. You see all these little things. I see people in the past who were one time faithful, dedicated children of God, but I'll tell you what they did. They got a job working, and it took them outside of the opportunity to worship. And they began then to hang out with a group of individuals that destroyed their faith. The Song of Solomon, in my opinion, here is a good conclusion to what we've looked at in Amos 5 verse 19 and look at what he said. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. Song of Solomon 2 and verse 15. The little foxes that spoil the vine. You see, ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't have to be a big thing. It's those little foxes that we let in. Oh, none of you are going out tomorrow and commit adultery, fornication. You're not going to do that. But you know what might happen? You go over here and you have a friend and they have a little, you know, well, just have a little drink with me. The little foxes that spoil the vine. You run from a lion, get chased by a bear, and a snake bites you. So build a hedge against that tonight by obedience to the gospel of Christ. So if you're not a Christian, never obeyed the gospel of Christ, if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you're willing tonight to change your life by repentance, confess the name of Jesus before the assembly tonight, you'd be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. We encourage